Thank you, Lord, for always watching over us. You know, Jesus, he was teaching his disciples, trying to get them to focus on the Lord and on God himself, and not so much focus on their needs. And many parts of the Gospels bear this out. But I'm going to read a few to us this morning. Our lesson today, again, welcome and good morning. Need consciousness may become a distraction. We've talked about need consciousness in the past. We've talked about distraction in the past. But let's just read through a few scriptures today just to see, you know, what the Lord is saying again about this subject, because we all have needs, every one of us. I mean, we have needs. And Jesus, in the sermon, the so-called Sermon on the Mount, he spent quite a great deal of time talking about this, the way Matthew recorded it in chapter 6 of Matthew. He talks about no man can serve two masters. That's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't do it, Jesus said. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what we shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? And what shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows already that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil of that day. And Jesus said, you know, the lesson that Jesus is teaching here, I don't even know if every one of us has been able to align ourselves with this particular teaching. You know, take no thought, don't worry about it, he said. You know, it's not that, you know, hey, you don't go down to the store to buy something that you're going to cook. You know, but it's saying that, look, don't be consumed by the thought of these things. You know, what shall we wear? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? I mean, these things, he said, the Gentiles, you know, those who know not God, these are the things they pursue on a daily basis. They have no knowledge of the things of God. They have no knowledge, you know, of any relationship with a spiritual father. And so they're just consumed with all the material things, the things that they seek and so forth. Well, if we're doing the same things, then we're not any better off. You know, and some of these things, you know, may actually become a distraction if we are not careful. So there's a warning that we want to share today. Our need consciousness, what a need, you know. And we pray, our prayers many times are filled with, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, do this, Father, do the other. You know, but Jesus said, look, your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of these things. Look, he didn't say that we shouldn't pray, but, you know, you just pray and move on. You know, you don't have to, you know, fret constantly over these things. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's it. You know, and the things that you need, God already knows that you have need of these things. And he'll take care of you. He's telling us here that, look, he can take care of, I mean, birds of the air and so forth like that. He can take care of them. How much more will he take care of you? And he called them, O ye of little faith. You know, little faith because they would not believe that God is actually able to take care of them. Sparrows, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? You know, and one of them, not one of them shall fall, you know, to the ground without your Father. You know, I mean, these sparrows, they're so cheap, Jesus said. You can actually, you know, buy two and get one free. You can read that in Luke chapter 12, verse 6. If you put Matthew 10:29-31 together with Luke chapter 12, you will see, you know, what he is saying here. So let's read Matthew chapter 10 and pick it up, pick up this story here. Again, this is Jesus teaching on these things, you know. So in Matthew chapter 6, we've already read what he said. And again, yet in Matthew chapter 10, he's teaching on these things again. You know, because these things are important. That's why Jesus is teaching, constantly teaching on them. And here we see in Matthew chapter 10, he's talking about, you know, are not two sparrows, that's verse 29, sold for a farthing? And what one of them shall fall to the ground without your hair? I mean, without your Father. The hairs of your head, he said, are numbered. You know, and then he said, fear not therefore, because you are of more value than many sparrows. Well, that's the way that Matthew reported it. And if you don't read this one here in Luke, you might not get the full picture. But Luke brought another angle here. He said, look, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? When Matthew says, you know, two sparrows are sold for a farthing, and Luke says five sparrows are sold for two farthings, that's like buy two of them, get one free. That's really what it means. You know, so if you buy two of them, it will be two, two sets will have been four. You know, each two is sold for a farthing. You know, two of them will be sold for two, you know, farthings. But they throw one on top of it. Now you get five. This in American language today, if they were writing these things, they would say, well, buy two, get one free. I mean, this is how cheap the thing is, yet your Father knows that every need of theirs. And he says, not one of them is forgotten before God. Not one of them. Not one of these sparrows, you know, is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And he said, you are of more value than sparrows. And the song said, his eye is on the sparrows and he's watching over me. Well, sometimes we forget. We let our needs cloud, you know, our mind, you know, when we're thinking of these things. I mean, Jesus continued in this same Luke chapter 12. He said, take no thought for your life, neither what shall ye eat. This is the same thing, just reported a different way by Luke. The life, he said, look, is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, but they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. You know, he put this one there, Matthew didn't. You know, and God, yeah, God feeded them. How much more are ye better than fowls? You know, I mean, they don't have a storehouse and so forth, yet God is taking care of them. You know, and which of you by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do the thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? You know, so consider the ladies how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say, you know, unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothe the grass which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much shall ye clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. So, these two stories were recorded, but I like the way that Luke brought some other things in. You know, like this doubtful mind. Don't be of doubtful mind. Just know that God is able to take care of you. Seek the kingdom of God first. And all these things will be added unto you. And he goes on to say, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, I'm going to read to you another story of how dangerous these need consciousness can be a big distraction. And this story is in the life of the so-called father of faith, Abraham. Well, before he really began to get too deep with the Lord, had an encounter with God. And let's read that story. In Genesis, chapter 15, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. That's verse 1. And said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now that's what the Lord said to Abraham. I, even myself, I am your shield. And I, I'm your exceeding great reward. Now, it's not exactly that I will give you a great reward, but I'm giving you myself. I myself am your reward. For walking before me, I offer myself to you. Now, if you got God, you got everything. But here is the problem with Abraham, just like every one of us, if we're not too careful, you know. And Abraham said, Lord God, but what will thou give me? God already gave you himself. And what will I give? What will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus, you know, and this thing was uppermost bothering him in his mind. So even though the Lord is coming unto him here, offering him, you know, a chance to walk with God, to experience something beyond his material needs, yet his mind drifting to those things that are bothering him. You know, like, look, I don't have a child. You know, I don't want my servant to become my heir. Why will you not bless me with a child? You're telling me you're going to give me of yourself. I want a child. I need a child. You know, so we can see here, you know, I begin to ask the Lord, say, look, behold, thou hast given to me no seed. And lo, one that is born in my house is now my heir. You know, so the word of the Lord came to, and the Lord is, you know, the Lord sometimes can be really patient. So the Lord told him, look, this shall not be your heir. But he that shall come forth out of your own bowels, he shall be your heir. You know, and so on. Then he began to show him some things. But you see, you know, this thing could be a distraction. When the Lord wants us to engage him for him, right? Not for his gifts and his things that he can give us. You know, but most of the time we engage God for the things that we can get from him. Some people say, well, let's seek God for his face and not his hand. You know, I say, look, most of the time, when people are praying, we're seeking God for the things that God can give us. That's it. Now, every good and perfect gift comes from above. We know that. Scripture says that, you know. But yet, let me say it to you this way. You know, not even the things that God can give can replace God himself. Even though it comes from him, and even though it's good and perfect, but yet it cannot replace God, because God is God, not the things that we can get from him. You know, but most of the time we forget that. You know, James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and no shadow of turning. You know, he doesn't go up and down. He doesn't have any mood swings. You know, what he says he would do, he would do. And when he gives you these gifts, they are good. And the blessing of the Lord, according to Proverbs 10 and 22, you know, maketh rich. He added no sorrow unto it. But yet, even the things that God can give us, if we're not careful, can become a distraction. And that's why Jesus was saying, look, focus on the things of God himself. Not what you can get from God or what you can, you know, what he can give you. Seek the Lord himself and his righteousness. Thinks about the kingdom and so forth. You know, don't seek after what you eat, what we do, how I pay my rent and this and that and so on. Yes, we do not minimize those needs. They are there, but your Heavenly Father knows you have those needs. And he'll take care of you. And if you don't believe so, then you are of doubtful mind. And Luke called it out. Said, look, be ye not of doubtful mind. God is able to take care of this. And you know, this give me a child, give me a child, give me a child thing, you know, became a snare. God promised it already to him here. But still, you know, many years go by and he didn't get this thing. This thing is uppermost in his heart. Even his wife is thinking, look, I'm getting old. You know, I don't know. I mean, we've been waiting and believing God. I mean, you know, look, this thing is not going to happen. But there may be a way that God can do this, actually. You know, it's all the same if you go into my maid and she has a child, you know, upon my knees and, you know, be like it's my child. You know, after all, I own, you know, in their culture, they own the you know, the maid or the slave or the servant, they own everything. So if the woman gave birth, then they own the child as well. So, well, I can have child that way. And, you know, Abraham should have just stopped her right there and said, no, we will not do that. The Lord promised us, and we're going to get this promise from the Lord. We're not going to do it that way. But the Lord said, your wife, Sarah, you know, not Sarah's maid, Hagar, or anything. That's not what God promised. You know, and so he should have stopped that right there. But he didn't. Because he himself, I mean, this thing, you know, was uppermost in his heart. And you know, when the Lord offers you himself, and you choose to allow yourself to get distracted by whatever it is that's more uppermost in your heart than the Lord himself, the Lord will do it because his mercies are great. In fact, they reach higher than the heavens. But you're going to have to bring that thing to the altar. You know, you will not choose anything above the Lord. And so there are many aspects in Abraham's story. And this story continues, you know, throughout the life of Abraham. Well, we only tell different parts of it at different times for various reasons, whatever lesson we want to bring. But there are so many parts of, you know, the story. Genesis 22, this story continues of this son that was uppermost in his heart. That was almost a distraction when God was offering him. God offered him himself, you know, but he chose rather to ask for a son. And God said, okay, cool. Lord gave him the son. I mean, he, you know, look, who knows? Perhaps if Abraham had accepted or received God the way God offered him and didn't ask God for a son at that time, maybe he would have gotten that son quicker than 25 years. We'll never know. But I believe it with all my heart that he would have gotten that son quicker than 25 years. If he would have just focused when God said, I will offer you myself. I don't ask God to give you a son when God's offering you himself. Just say, Lord, I receive all that you have for me. And just receive it. And just thank him and just worship him. He didn't do that. He's more focused on, I want a son and so on. Well, he got the son. Well, the son brought him a lot of problems later on. This, you know, great test that he faced. Genesis 22. The Lord said to him, look, bring that son, that thy only son whom you love. The one, remember, that you chose above me when I said I will offer you myself, but you wanted a son instead. Well, you're going to have to bring that son to the altar. Bring that son over here and slay him before me. Let me see that you still choose my word above the gift that you asked of me. But thank God that Abraham wised up and he passed this test. Hallelujah. And so the Lord is faithful. You know, even when we miss the mark and the Lord gives us an opportunity to pass the test again, come a different way, and you pass that test, he's faithful. You know, and the Lord swore to Abraham, because you've done this and you've not held back your son, your only son, now I know. See, God didn't know. It wasn't clear to God whether Abraham was going to choose him or, you know, choose the gift of what God can give him. But because now God put him to a test, the Lord waited. You know, he got that son. He said, well, okay, fine. You got this son now. I'm going to see. You know, you're going to have to choose me, what I tell you, or you choose that son. And so, you know, but thank God that Abraham, he came through. You know, he realized that, look, I can't do that. You know, I can't do that. You know, I got, you know, whatever. I mean, the Lord, he gave me this child. You know, I cannot prefer anything above him. But he learned his lesson quick because the Lord said, bring that thing to the altar. You know, and thank God that he obeyed. God turned around and put a blessing on him like no one ever heard. He said, now I swear by myself, because you have done this in blessing, I will bless you. Ha! Glory to God. You know, ladies and gentlemen, whatever it is that God can give us, be sure that that thing does not become a distraction. You know, but our God is merciful. You've seen here how God, being merciful, allowed Abraham another chance to redeem himself. You know, so now here comes the test. You know, I offered you myself. You asked for a son. Okay, you got the son. Bring him to the altar and slay him before me. And thank God that he passed the test. You know, the Lord, he will give us a chance. You know, God's a God of chances. I mean, Peter, he denied the Lord 3 times. You know, did you know it? 3 times before the cock even crew 2x. And Jesus had warned him that he was going to do it, but Peter said, I'll never do that. Everybody else may do it, but not me. I'll be right there till the end. He said, cool. Well, you better pray instead of bragging. You know, but they didn't pray. They all fell into temptation. You know, and one day the Lord, you know, came to him, you know, and asked him 3 times. Same number of times that Peter denied him. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? He said, well, yeah, of course. He said, okay, well, you know, feed my lambs. And then, you know, a few minutes later, just the same amount of time in between the times that Peter denied the Lord, the same amount of time, the Lord come back to him the second time. He had an opportunity to have stood up for Christ. He didn't, you know, first time or second time, you know. So Jesus waited the same amount of time and he asked him again, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter says, of course, Lord. I love you. Okay. Jesus waited a little time passed, about the same measure of time that it took for Peter to deny the Christ. And he come back to him again. The third time. Now Peter is grieved in his heart, but the Lord is just smiling. Because the Lord knows what he's doing, you know, just giving Peter an opportunity to redeem himself here, you know. And they say, well, do you love me? I mean, above anything else, you know, say, well, yeah, Lord, finally, you know all things. And the Lord said, that's okay, you know. And the Lord is so gracious like that, you know. He'll give you a chance again and again sometimes. He gave Abraham the chance. You know, you chose this son when I offered you myself. Well, now you got to bring that son to the altar. And, you know, Sarah, on the other hand, you know, she herself, you know, she didn't follow through and neither did Abraham. You know, some people thought that Sarah was the only one that was of doubtful mind. Abraham at times too. But, you know, women can put pressure on you sometimes, make you do some stuff that you didn't want to do. You know, but Abraham should have put just like Adam. Abraham should have put his foot down and said, no, the Lord said, we're going to get the child. We're going to get a child. The woman said, no, how are we going to get a child? Look at me. You know, and he gave in to that. Well, he gave in to that. We had Ishmael until today. You know, Israel had their troubles with the Arabs and all these other things that's going on. Well, till today, because of that, you know, should have just stuck there with the word of God. But hey, it is what it is. Today's lesson, though, is do not let, you know, the things that you may need from God become a distraction when the Lord, you know, you can be in a service, and I've seen this a lot of times. Holy Ghost is really moving. Glory of God coming down. Fire everywhere. You know, I mean, power of God. You know, and so on, moving and all that. You know, and the next thing you know, in the midst of all of that, people are asking Lord for my next promotion, my next job, my next big car, my next this, my rent, my this. I mean, you know, that's just how the mind works. When the power of God is present and God is really moving, most of the time, what do people ask for if the Lord showed up like that? No, they will not even ask for, look, let me have a walk with God like Enoch did. Let me go in the chariots of fire like Elijah did. Nobody's going to be asking that. We are going to be thinking that, I'm on a roll right now. I need that job that has eluded me. I need, you know, the bigger car. I need a bigger house. I need this. I need that. It's all that people be thinking. The presence of all that glory. Seen it all the time. You know, God is gracious. But, you know, those things are temporal things. And they become a distraction. As a matter of fact, sometimes they might even become a snare. You know, so, you know, distraction is one thing. A snare is even worse. You know, so let's be very careful how the things that we need from God may become, or that they not become, a snare unto us. You know, in the story in Psalm 105. You know, the Lord was relating to us the lessons and the journey of the children of Israel. And in Psalm 105 verse 37, he said, he brought forth them also out of Egypt with silver and gold. You know, silver and gold. I mean, you might know or remember the story. I'm not going to go and read that story to you. I'm just reading this summary here in Psalm 105. But how the Lord caused the children of Israel pretty much to rob their, you know, their oppressors. After all the thing that God put upon them, he said, look, borrow from them this and that. They were willing to give it. Look, they thrust those vessels of gold and silver at them and said, get out of it. Take it and leave. Because, you know, all their firstborn were killed and everything happening to them and so forth. I mean, they do anything. And that was God's way of paying them back. He said, I will punish that nation. You know, and when he brought them forth with silver and gold, there was not one feeble person among them. You know, Egypt was finally glad when they departed because the fear of them fell upon them and so on. You know what I mean? It brought them, there was a lot of stuff. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this same silver and gold that God brought them forth out of Egypt with, and a lot of blessing, they practically robbed all of the Egyptians, you know, took everything, you know, with them. All their payment for all the time they've been in slavery. You know, God actually has some humor there. But this whole thing, at the end of the day, it became a snare unto them. In Exodus 32, this same gold and silver and all these things they brought out of Egypt, this was the very thing they turned into a golden You know, golden calf. Of course, the reason they did that was because they wouldn't hear from God directly. You know, when God said, look, if you will obey my voice indeed, then you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. And I'll make you a peculiar people, chosen of God, and a near people unto my heart. He gave them that offer in Exodus 19 and 5. But they wouldn't do it. They thought they would, but they didn't. When they heard the voice in Exodus 20 and they saw the thunderings and stuff, they said, oh no, we can't do that. Get away from us. You go hear from God. Come tell it to us. You know, and so they lost their right to hear the voice of God directly. So enough time passes, just 40 days that Moses was gone, you know, into the Mount of God to receive the commandments. Just 40 days. Now, they don't say, well, okay, the medium is gone. You know, how shall we hear from God now? Well, make us gods to go before us. I mean, just 40 days. I mean, barely over a month and 10 days or something. Now, all of a sudden, you know, the heart's going back because they don't know how to hear from God. So when the man who was hearing from God is not there, well, we don't know what to do from day to day. Well, we need to hear something. So make us gods, you know. And then finally, the very silver and gold that God gave them when they came out of Egypt became a snare unto them. And they used this silver and gold to build golden calf and Aaron, you know. And I mean, you know, God was even merciful to this Aaron, you know, for a long time, you know. God would just be merciful to him. But, you know, we need to focus on the Lord. And when the Lord, anything that the Lord is offering you, that's the thing you should focus on. Don't try to add anything onto it because it may become a problem and a distraction. This Aaron was a distraction to Moses finally, you know, troubled Moses because of all these things that he did. I mean, he was kind of his brother, you know, but, you know, when God sent Moses to Egypt, God sent Moses alone. And Moses kept giving all kind of excuses. I can't do it, you know. To God say, okay, your brother Aaron is coming. You know, you send him. I mean, he'll go with you. He'll be your prophet. He'll be God to Pharaoh and he'll speak. And that Aaron, this Aaron later became a distraction. You know, in all the things that he did. You know, Moses should have just stayed right there with the Lord. You know, God sent him. God didn't send Aaron at first. Moses complaining and complaining that made God to say, okay, fine. You know, so let's be careful. The things that we ask from God, if you're not careful, they may even become a distraction. And God already knows what you need. You know, now it's okay to pray for help in the ministry and so forth because Jesus taught us to do that. He said, look on the fields. They're white. Already to harvest, you know, but there's not enough people. But pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. So that's okay. You know, that's okay. We can do that. But God is the one that will choose and send. And not your choice. You know, it will be God that will send. The Lord of the harvest will send himself laborers into his own vineyard. And the Lord is the one that does that. But back to our main lesson. Don't let your needs become a distraction when God is offering you himself, you know. And many times when we're crying out to God because of a situation that we're going through, God may allow those situations to bring us into a place of brokenness. And then, but most of the time we just focus on the need. You know, I need this, I need that, I need God to get me out of this jam that I'm in, get me out of this situation, you know, whatever it is, maybe something that went bad in some business venture, your job, situation here and there, something you lost, I mean, this and that, yeah, that we want to go, we cry out to God, becomes our focus. But did you know that we lost the glory of God, that should be our focus, number one thing to be crying after. Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One short verse, but so loaded. That's what we lost, the glory of God. It's what we ought to be seeking after. But, you know, who's seeking after that? For the most part, you know, most parts we're just seeking after, you know, this, give me that, give me the other. You know, but God wants us to seek after him. Seek the Lord for him, not for his gifts. And every good gift we know comes from above. But let me repeat what I said before, that not even the very gift that God gives, which is good and is perfect, not even those gifts can replace him. in our lives. So all the things that he may give us, you want a new car, he'll give you. You want a new this, he'll give you. You want a new that, he'll give you. You want a job, you want a wife, you want a husband, you want this child, this son, give you all these things. But then what? You know, after he gives you all those things, then what? You know, so, you know, when we have the opportunity to ask things of God, what are the things that our heart are actually asking? It'll be a distraction. There's nothing wrong with putting our needs before the Lord. We should. The scripture says, cast your burden upon him. Care for you. But don't be consumed with those things till they become a distraction. And they, you know, the offer of God does not get through to you. God's really offering you. Hallelujah. Now, here's what God's offering us today. Come walk with me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what he's offering. Come walk with me. Put your hand right here and walk with me. And come, put your hands in my hands and let's build together. Come build with me. It's what God is offering. You know, and God's offering us a chance, you know, to get in here and experience, you know, something new. Praise God. You know, there is nothing new in, you know, God giving us our daily bread. He has been doing it forever, you know, and he will continue to do it. But it's something that we may not have experienced that God can give. Call unto me, he told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. Well, what is it that you don't know that God might be able to show you? Well, you're going to have to find out. You know, when you cry after God, but if you are only crying after God for these physical things, he'll give you those physical things. But yet, you know, you'll never experience those other things. You know, the aspect of himself that he actually wants to give. Hallelujah. God wants to make us like him. You know, that's really his goal. That's always his number one goal. That was his number one goal from the beginning. Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, just like the Christ. Hallelujah. You know, and that's what he intended, for whom he did foreknow. Romans 8 and 29. Then he also did choose, you know, and ordained, preordained them, predestined them that they should be conformed to the image of the Christ. That was in his mind all along. These people will be just like this. So he fashioned the Christ in his mind, you know, we'll have that body come, do the redemption and the things that he will do, and we will be lost like the Christ. Character. Hallelujah. Character. You know, be just like God. We'll have the mind of Christ. You know, we'll be more. And when you get there, you know that if you actually, if Abraham would have recognized what God was offering in Genesis 15, you know, I believe with all my heart that it wouldn't take him 25 years. The Lord, you know, what he wants to give us, when you develop to be calm like God, you do those things for yourself. You know, and that may seem strange to some people that can't see how that can be. But well, you know, what does it mean to have dominion? What does it mean to be like God? It means you are in charge. Do those things. And that's what God did. Brought Adam and said, look, Adam, what are you going to call this one? And whatever Adam said, that's it. God said, cool, that's it. You are now in charge. You do as you please because you are in the nature of God. You have dominion. And these are the things that God wants us to seek after. You know, what are the things that excite you, you know, about God? Does it excite you to learn that a man walked with God and he was not because God translated him and they couldn't find his body until this day he has never died? Does that excite you? Does it excite you that a man went in the chariot of fire? Now, Enoch was kind of a, you know, a recluse or somebody that, you know, was kind of hidden and didn't, you know, people didn't know too much about him. Did give an amazing prophecy, you know, about, you know, what's going to happen when the Lord will return with 10,000s of his saints. There wasn't even 100 people upon the earth at that time. How did he know it? You know, and, you know, but Elijah, he always liked to make an entrance, you know, he made an entrance even to heaven, you know, chariots of fire, blazing fire all the time, you know. Hey, do those things excite you? Or are the things, the only things that excite us is, you know, when we can get our next car, our next house, our next job, and our next this, you know, wife, husband, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, all those things are good, but are those the only things that excite us? If they are, then they become a distraction. They have become a distraction. We're now, this whole earth has become a distraction. The systems of this world have become as distraction. Distraction. But finally, the Lord's going to roll it all back. Praise God. You know, after the sounding of this seventh angel, you know, in Revelation 11 and 15, you know, then there was a voice heard that said, now, ha, has come salvation and the power of the Lord's Christ, because the kingdoms of this world, ha, have now become the kingdoms of our God and of his God. You know, that's where it all ends. Well, that's where it was intended to be from the beginning. Bring everything into alignment under Adam. And it, you know, was so only for a few, for a little bit, before disobedience crept in. So, ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today is, do not let the things that we can get from God become a distraction away from getting God himself. Hallelujah. Now, when we have moments of prayer and dedication and consecration and convocation week and so forth, what was your prayer during that time? You know, what were you praying about? What were you seeking after? I mean, every time, examine yourself and examine your prayer. You know, when you're praying and you're really praying, you know, hard from the Lord, what is it you're praying about? You know, most of the time people are just praying about material needs. That's it. You know, and God will give us those things, but they might become a distraction. Worse, they might even become a snare. You know, so let's be careful now. If you seek him, hallelujah, and you get him, you get everything else. But you may get everything else and not get him, you know. And so, you know, that's why the Bible says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possess, or even the measure of things that we get from God. You know, some people measure spirituality by, you know, the affluence that people, you know, have. You know, I mean, they look at someone who's blessed in material things, and then they assume that, oh yeah, that means that they are in favor with God, you know, for spiritual things as well. You know, those are two different dimensions, two different spheres. It may be that they've learned the secret of how to make wealth. You know, it doesn't mean that they, you know, are walking with God in the spirit at all, necessarily, you know. So let's not let the things of this world become a snare to us. In this same Luke 12 that we were reading earlier, Jesus said this to them in verse 15, and take heed and beware of covetousness. You know, covetousness. You know, sometimes, you know, covetousness is what's behind many of our prayers. You know, but the Lord said, look, take heed and beware of these things. You know, you want this, you want that, you want this, you want the other. You know, so, and he warned and he said, look, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things in which he possesses. Because somebody came to say, you know, to tell the Lord, you know, speak to me, to my brother, that I divide the inheritance with me. I mean, you know, maybe their father died and left, you know, everything to the firstborn or whatever. So this other one comes and say, hey, look, you know, tell my brother to divide this now. They're fighting over it, you know, and this thing happens a lot, especially in Africa. You know, people, you know, come into some estate, you know, because somebody, their parent died and left, and everybody tried to kill each other over it. And this man came to Jesus and said, Jesus said, look, who made me a judge over you for these things? And that's not why I'm here. You know, I'm not here in a business to be dividing and doing these things. And Jesus looked at the man's heart and he saw something. You know, Jesus always looking and seeing something. He saw something in the man's heart. He saw covetousness and these things. And he just warned him. You know, I mean, one time Jesus looked at the man's heart. You know, the man came to him and said, look, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, well, you know the law. Do this and do that and do this and do other. And the Lord said, I mean, the man said, well, I've done all these things since my youth and up. The Lord looked at him. And the Lord said, yeah, you did. And the Lord liked the guy. The Lord actually loved him. He said, good job. You know, he said, nevertheless, because he looked in his heart, there's one thing that you lack. Because these things have become a snare unto you. All these good things that you have in your life, they become a snare. They're preventing you from actually a closer walk with God. Now you go and sell the things that you have and give them to the poor and then come and follow me. You know, and the man went away sorrowful because he was a man that possessed great possessions. You know, wow. And so his possessions became a snare unto him. And the Lord might have blessed him with those possessions. You know. So, I mean, even though the Lord blessed him with those possessions and he became great, yet those things eventually became a snare unto him. You can read that story in Mark chapter 10. Read, you know, just read the story. In fact, let me read a portion of it to you before I close. Mark chapter 10. I'll read from maybe verse 21 or so. Mark chapter 10. Find it here. Okay. So, you know, this man, he came to Jesus and said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You know, Mark 10:17. And Jesus said, well, you know the law. You know, don't commit adultery. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't be a false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. I mean, just gave him all the relationship. All the thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself part. And the man said to Jesus, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. So Jesus looked and he said, yeah, he saw his life. You know, saw that he spoke the truth. And looked into his heart and said, yeah, good job. The Bible said, well, he looked him and loved him and said, yeah, good job. He said, but nevertheless, there's one thing that you lack. Because these things along the way, God has blessed you, you know, because you did the word of God. The word of God, you know, also put a blessing in your life. But those things have now become a distraction to you. And not, you know, they're now preventing you from a closer walk with God. Get rid of these distractions. You know, at one time Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You know, all these things that become distractions, cut them off. You know, say, look, these things, your wealth have become distractions. Here is what you need to do. Go and sell stuff that you have. Give to the poor. And then come and follow me. And the Bible say that at that saying, the man was very sad and he went away grieved because he had great possessions. You know, and then Jesus looked around him and said to his disciples, said, look, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And then they were astonished at his words. So you mean we need to be poor now to be part of the kingdom? I mean, we can't have riches. I mean, what are you saying? You know, I mean, I thought the Lord would bless those people. I mean, they're thinking in their hearts. I mean, you said you bless your people. I mean, all your people were blessed. Abraham was blessed. Isaac was blessed. Jacob was blessed. All these people were blessed. I mean, Solomon, David, all of them. I mean, are you saying now that we need to be poor now to get to the kingdom? What new thing is this? And so, you know, Jesus said, look, let me break it down for you. you know, I'm talking about those that trust in riches. I'm talking about those for whom those riches have become a snare. You know, it's going to prevent them. The Lord gave you those riches in the first place. But remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get well. You know, God can give that power to unbelievers just the same. And they may get this wealth. They may, you know, believers, everybody, we may get it. But we may forget the Lord our God. And so God never wants any of these things, you know, to cause us to forget. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is. That's right. I gave you that power. You know, don't forget him and don't let your focus be on those things. You know, some of us are so driven. You know, we are achievers, you know, goals getters and so forth. And it's a good thing, you know, to achieve and to be driven and so on. It's a success. But don't let those things become a snare. You know, because, you know, you're not going to take any of those achievements to heaven and let them speak for you, only if you turn it around and use it for his glory, then it will speak for you. And in fact, around the throne, you know, the elders, they cast down their crowns. They say, these crowns, you know, everything we achieved and nothing before him. Paul himself said that. All the things that were gained for me are counted but loss and even dung. You know, there's another word for dung that I won't even say here. You know, but he said, look, you know, I just call everything nothing, rubbish before the Lord. You know, that I may win him. You know, so all these things together, he said, they are nothing. And nothing. They mean nothing to me. Well, to some of us, it's everything. You know, that's why Colossians says, you know, look, seek the things that are above and not the things that are beneath. You know, when we are so wrapped up with these things that Jesus told us not to be wrapped up in, when we lose these things, people set into depression. You know, but if you be risen with Christ, Colossians 3 verse 1, then seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. I mean, just think about things above. You know, how is Enoch doing right now? I mean, what's he, you know, what's up with him? You know, I mean, those saints, some of them gave their lives and all these things and so forth. I mean, what's going on in their mind? What are they doing? You know, I mean, God sending them out to do stuff. You know, there was one man that was showing John so many things in Revelation 19 and 10. John actually thought it was an angel, but he said, no, I'm a, you know, one of your brethren, you know, of the prophets and the servants of the Lord. And so God had some job for these people to do. And they were doing these things. I mean, think of these things. I mean, what are the things that excite you? I mean, what's that day going to be like when the Lord comes? You know, I want to see his face. You know, I want to be around him. I mean, the things of God. I mean, God promised great things, you know, for us to be like him, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to demonstrate the power of God, demonstrate the kingdom of God. I mean, maybe spiritual things can begin to excite you if you think along those lines, you know, but so let's be careful that the only things that excite us are not just these carnal things that are going to go away. Otherwise, they might become a distraction. I'm going to pray over the room today for God to help us to focus on him. Him. Not just his things that he can give us. I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. I myself, even I, will be your reward. Get me, saith the Lord. And you have all things. That's right. So, God wants us to seek him, who alone doeth great wonders. And let's praise him and let's seek him for him. Praise God. And then he will add these, all these other things to us. You know, he will. But let's focus on him. And he'll take care of all these other things. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray for everyone that's listening today that we will not get distracted with the things that, even the things that we can get from God, even the good things that God may give us, cannot be allowed to take God's place in our lives. So Lord, we pray that you help us to be discerning and to not let anything become a distraction or a snare. What is it? What is that one thing which thou yet lackest? The Spirit of the Lord asked this morning. Well, you know, let him reveal it to you. And let him help you to take care of it. Let's get all these things out of our heart that are taking the place of God. It becomes idolatry. When anything takes the place of God, the worship in our heart, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Don't let your heart be after these riches. It becomes idolatry. It becomes a distraction. It becomes a snare. And even become a golden calf, finally. I pray that the Lord will deliver our minds from going after these things. He will give you these things. He took care of the sparrows, the lilies, and all these other things. He'll take care of it. We ourselves know how to take care of our children, so Lord, take care of us. But let's seek him and him alone. Praise God. Seek ye therefore the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things should be added unto you. Hallelujah. The Lord said we shouldn't seek those things. We should seek the Lord and his righteousness. And these other things will chase after us, actually. Praise God. Father, we thank you for today's lesson. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. And even in your season, while you're waiting for whatever it is you are believing God for, don't be so consumed with that thing that you neglect your walking with God. And walking with God is what this platform is all about. We must walk with God every day. Hallelujah. Hand in hand, you know, to see his glory and to do according to the leading of his voice. May the Lord find us worthy. He said, you know, count yourselves. I mean, pray that you may be counted worthy, he said, you know, to stand before the Son of Man. May the Lord find us, in us, that worthiness to stand before the Son of Man in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.